Good evening. Thank you, John. Thank you, Tim, for those thoughts, and makes us realize the difference that a father can make of thousands of lives that have been affected and continue to be affected for eternity. And, it's been a bit of a busy weekend, a little busier than I kind of anticipated. I was kind of settling down for a quiet evening in the office. Mostly Saturday nights are actually sane. People are kind of gone for supper. Nobody's looking for anything. But not so last night, of course. And we just had 81-year-old Loudon drove in from Alberta with his truck, and he needed a room. And somebody else drove in, and was all said and done, we had 18 units rented. It's like, oh boy, that means we get 10 to clean today. And then about 2 o'clock, I had my rubber gloves on and my 200-foot snake, and we were trying to unplug a sewer. So that's just how it goes sometimes. You know, that's just how life is. And Lydia's on the road to Quebec right now, so we pray for her and for a safe travel. She's got quite a long drive up there. And, you know, I just wanted to say thank you tonight. You know what? It is just, I just find that you folks have been so supportive and so helpful over the years. Just even when a guy gets up to preach, you know what? A guy's not always fully with it every time you get up to minister. And this is a very public place not to be at your best. And so you folks have been very gracious to come out and support and listen and be kind with your comments. And you know what? I just wanted to say thank you tonight. A lot of people say thank you to me at the door, but I just wanted to say thank you tonight. So last week we did Mother's Day. And I thought, well, what am I going to speak on next week? And then I didn't really have the June's not always the best month, so I thought, well, why don't I do Father's Day? You know, a little early, a little primer maybe, and if you don't get anything on Father's Day, well, tonight you can listen to my Father's Day message again on Father's Day if you need to. So let's just turn their Bibles to Luke 15. We're not going to preach from this passage, but I just think it's an appropriate passage to read tonight on fathers. So Luke 15, very common passage, the parable of the prodigal son, and we're going to read from verse 11 to 24. We can look it up in our Bibles or phones. Wow, ice in the water. That's new. That's great. Luke 15, verse 11, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for a few minutes tonight just to reflect, Father, on our responsibilities as fathers, as dads. And for those, Father, who may be here tonight who have not enjoyed that experience yet, Father, that you would prepare them for that as well. And Lord, help us to remember that you also want us to be fathers to others that need your care, whether that's just a friend in need or someone here. So Lord, just give us a heart of your father that we need in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen. So when we think of fathers and Father's Day, it's kind of like I talked about last week. It's not always the happiest day for a lot of people. Like Christmas can be kind of awkward and strange for some folks, kind of sad. And sometimes when we think of fathers, you know, we can get a little overwhelmed with maybe regrets. You know, maybe we didn't do some of the things we wish we'd have done, and maybe we look at maybe our kids and think, well, they haven't turned out quite exactly how I hoped for. But you know what? The job of fatherhood is never done, just like motherhood, until you're done on this earth. It is not just a 0 to 18 time of life, right? You continue to be a father until the day you die, and maybe a grandfather and a great-grandfather. And so, you know, there's a lot of things we can talk about. What makes a strong assembly? Well, you could probably do a little survey here tonight and write down a whole big long list of things of what we feel would make a strong assembly. Really, at the end of the day, what's going to make a strong assembly and what has made this assembly strong is men of God who have fathered their children and who have raised their sons and have shown them what God the Father truly looks like. That is what is going to continue to help us to have a strong meeting. Just a few little quotes I thought I'd throw up. Max Lucado said, "My father didn't do anything unusual. He only did what he was supposed to do, be there." Sometimes we far underestimate the presence of a father. Ken Norton said, "Of all the titles I've been privileged to have, Dad has always been the best." Frank Pittman said, "Fathering is not something that perfect men do." We kind of touched on this last week. You know, mothers sometimes expect to be perfect. It's not about, because none of us are perfect. And fathering is not something perfect men do, but something that perfects the man. There's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? Right? The transformation that God does in our lives as we learn to father our kids. It's impossible to know everything that you, when after you've raised 2 or 3 or 4 kids, that you, when you started, you can't expect to know that. You grow with your children as they change. George Hebert said, "One father is more than 100 schoolmasters." And that's interesting, isn't it? In a day of an overemphasis on education, and I've got lots of education, but an overemphasis on education, I tell you what's put down is parenting. And I can remember going through the whole autism process with the public health system. And what I found was that there was times they just thought they knew my kids better than I did. And I knew before God that I knew my children better than any professional could know my child. And that left a certain responsibility on me as a dad to rise up and do what had to be done. And then William Shakespeare, obviously a well-known theologian, right, in many parts. I'm sure Billy has some of his books in the library from William Shakespeare. He says, "It is a wise father that knows his child." It is a wise father that knows his child. You know what that takes? That takes time, doesn't it? Right? It takes time to know your kids. So tonight we want to just kind of look at 3 simple I's. They might be even mixed up a little bit, but just bear with me here. We're going to look first at the importance of fathers. We live in a culture that's mocking fathers. There's sitcoms, shows that are just mocking the whole sense of the father as the head of the home, the one who leads his family, the one who nurtures and provides for his family, the one who protects his family and raises them up in spiritual matters. This here book is, I don't know if we have this book in the library, but we should get it, by Josh McDowell, called The Father Connection. This is a tremendous book. Everybody, mothers need to read this book to understand what father's responsibilities are. And the simple premise that I appreciate through this book is, this is not a how-to book on how to be a great dad. This is a book that reminds us that the only way that we can connect with our kids is if we're connected in a day-by-day relationship with Jesus Christ and his Father. That's the only way we can read all the how-to helpful books and get all kinds of tips, and that's all wonderful. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the transformational power of life change in my life is what is going to bring an effect upon my kids as I depend daily upon my Father in heaven, and he guides and directs and influences my life, which many days that's not happened, right? And we can all admit to that, I think, as men. But yet, he continues to nurture and to enable me and to forgive me where I fail and continue to move forward in my walk with him. And as I engage in that relationship, that empowers me to be the father my kids need. And, you know, we're living in a culture that's suffering the short and long-term effects of men who are not stepping up to the plate and being the role model and leader and character that we need. And we're seeing this. This is a challenging culture to raise kids in today. Here's a few stats from Josh McDowell 15 years ago. Now, these are daily stats in the U.S., okay? Daily, all right? 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mothers every day in the United States of America 15 years ago. 1,100 teenage girls have abortions. That is sad. 4,200 teenagers every day end up with a sexually transmitted disease because of sex outside of marriage, before marriage. 500 adolescents start drugs, 1,000 adolescents start alcohol, and 6 teens commit suicide every day in the USA. And in order of those, every teen who commits suicide, there is at least another 100 that are attempting to commit suicide. Whether it's serious or not, whether they're actually serious about doing it, there's another 100 that's actually attempting to do so. So, are fathers needed? Are they important? Do they make a difference? Here's some other little studies that were done. And again, studies aren't perfect. You can't just buttonhole everything into a study, okay? I mean, but it's a guidance to give us a sense of the importance of dads in the culture in which we live. 39 girls with anorexia nervosa were studied. 36 of them had one common characteristic, a lack of closeness with their father. So, Johns Hopkins University researchers, they researched young white teenage girls living in homes without a dad, and there was a 60% higher rate of premarital sex. Dads, your very presence in the home, connecting with your girls, will enable them to stay pure. Your very presence and spending time with them. You don't need a Bible degree. You need to just be there. From Yale, the behavioral scientist studied 48 cultures around the world. Fair amount of cultures. I don't know how many countries that was, but cultures. And the crime rates were highest among adults whose children were primarily raised by women, and there was an absence of the father in the home. And we're not criticizing moms here. Those women would be commended to raising those kids on their own. And here's a really interesting one, that a lack of closeness with parents was the common factor in hypertension, coronary heart, malignant tumors, mental illness, and suicide. That's really kind of hard to believe, isn't it? And yet, as I shared that with a brother tonight before I came here, he said, well, when we step aside God's plans for how he wants things to be done, should we be surprised? We shouldn't be. It's God's plan for us to have a mom and a dad to raise, to nurture, to protect, to instruct, to love their children that God has given them. And even greater, you as a guy can be a father influence in the lives of other young people who desperately need your influence. You know what? If you are fathering your children and you got a father's heart, what's going to happen is God is going to bring other young men into your life that need care and that need attention and maybe aren't getting what they need in their homes. God will just bring you into their lives and enable you to mentor and to care and to instruct and to nurture them. You know, it's a neat little verse we're going to look at later, but there's a verse in Psalm 68 that says, you know what? He is the father to the fatherless. The father to the fatherless. What a wonderful verse. There's another great little book here. I'm just going to skip through my slides. I put it in the wrong spot. But this one here is by the guy who started Chick-fil-A. Now, I don't know if you ever read his story, and I'm sure most of you here are familiar with Chick-fil-A if you traveled at all in the U.S., but one of the biggest chicken franchises in the world. They don't open on Sunday. They've always had a really interesting stance about not opening their stores on Sunday. And I remember him telling the story about that. And he'd go into a mall, and he only had a couple stores open. And they needed a corner, right, in that strip, that little strip. And he'd come in, and he'd say, okay, I want to rent that space. And the guy says, yeah, it's so much per square foot. And he said, that's fine. And he said, here's the rules. You got to be open every day, minimum hours, 10 to 6, and then if you need to be open longer or whatever, then. But this is the minimum we require when you sign that lease. And he said, well, I can't sign that lease. And the guy said, well, why? And he said, you can't afford it? And he said, no. He said, I will not be here on Sundays to service the public. And they said, well, we can't have you here. We have to generate a certain amount of sales per square foot. And he said, will you give me 6 months? And after 6 months, if I do not generate that amount of money per square foot, then you can kick me out. I'm good to go. And some of the guys in the malls were just like kind of like thinking, this guy's, he's a little loopy. But anyway, he was able to convince some of them. And he would open his Chick-fil-A and run for 6 days a week. And his volume per square foot was always way higher than the guys who were open 7 days a week. Like God just honored what he was doing in an amazing way. And he's built an incredibly huge franchise. Well, anyway, he has a great Christian testimony. We're just going to skip through these. Oh, what am I doing here, Noah? Oh, there we go. We'll come back here. And here's the name of the book. It's Better to Build Boys Than to Mend Men. It's better to spend your time and effort when your kids are small and as they grow and under your tutelage to care for them and expose them to the gospel and expose them to other great Christian examples and community and the Word of God and great books. Because if you don't put that effort in, what happens is a lot of times those boys just drift away. And then when they maybe start to work their way back to God, they're in such a mess, there's a lot more work that has to be done. And sometimes they don't ever come back. So it's better to build boys than mend men. You can still get this book. It's a great little book. So we'll just... Sons are a heritage from the Lord, the psalmist says. Children, a reward from him. This culture is determined to diminish the role of fathers. It is rebellion against God the Father himself, isn't it? And the head of the homes are being attacked in this culture. Here's what one secular feminist said. Fathers are a biological necessity, but a psychological absurdity. How sad, right? Biologically, yeah, we need you guys. Now, maybe even more, they've even figured out other ways not to do it now. But anyway, but they're not with it otherwise. They can help us have our babies, but after that, forget it. It's interesting, though, if you look through 6,000 years of history, scripture and history show us that as goes the home, so goes the society. As goes the home, so goes the society. So we need to strengthen our homes, folks. So we have the influence of fathers, number two. Now, the ultimate influence in all of history, right, is God the Father himself, right? He is the ultimate influence in all of history, the first person of the Trinity. He's the perfect Father. He is the creator of all things. His design is that fathers protect and provide and nurture the children entrusted to him. So let's look at a couple verses here. Ephesians 4 and verse 6. Simple little verses, just kind of plugged in different parts of the scripture. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So the model of a father is God the Father himself. He is the source of all things. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. He is the very source of everything, within whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. One Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. And then a neat little verse here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, and last half of verse 6. Is not he your father who created you, who made you, and established you? So the very source of life is the Father. He's tender. Galatians 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. You know, there's only three places in the Bible where those words are actually used. Abba, Father, right? There's this one right here in Galatians 4 and verse 6. I think we have the next one. Romans 8 and verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery when you get saved to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons. We've been adopted when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and we received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Daddy. Daddy, Father. And there's one other spot that I never really put the piece together on. But in Jesus' deepest hour of need before the cross, this is the only other place that this phrase is used. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And the disciples were over there sleeping. And the very pressure of the enormity of the fact that he was going to bear our sins in his body on the tree and suffer and be separated from his very Father, he cried out, Abba, Father. How rich is that, right? Abba, Father, he cried out to his Father. Daddy, Father. Intimacy, connection. You know, sometimes depending on what your upbringing was like, if you had a stern dad, a judgmental dad, a harsh dad, then you kind of see God as this distant kind of like, okay, he's way up there and the Bible says he loves me, but I'm not too sure about that. And so I think I just have to be kind of careful with him. I kind of have to be a little cautious because dad like would really, you know, say some mean things to me sometimes. He'd be really stern and he'd be really judgmental and I'm sure once I step out of line that's the way God is in heaven, right? And you know, what's really powerful is how we respond to our kids. And Tim just put it so well when what really remembered was his father's apologetic spirit when he failed, right? Like, and how that enabled him to connect to his dad. And also how enabled him to connect to his Father in heaven, right? That his Father in heaven would be a gracious Father and kind and tender and we can cry out, Abba, Father. He's listening. It says, pray like this, it says in Matthew 6 and verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Isn't that marvelous? If you know him tonight, if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have every right to approach your Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And you know, I always like this verse in Matthew 7 and verse 11 that says, if you then who are evil, meaning, you know, with our sin nature and the way we are, if we know how to give good gifts to your children. So, you know, when you have opportunity and you often, you know, Christmas, birthdays, maybe just spontaneous, you just give good gifts to your children. Well, you're not exactly, you're far away from the genuine perfection of God, right? But how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? But you got to talk to him, don't you? You got to approach him. And that's not a blank check verse, by the way. But you know what? It's his heart to give. It's his heart to give. So the Father is our model of the kind of fathers that we should be. We never get it right, but we strive to be more like him. So what if our earthly fathers failed us in many ways? Maybe you had a distant father, an abusive father. Maybe you didn't have a father at home at all, or he was harsh. Josh McDowell's got a great video out. I think I've actually found it online for free on YouTube the other day. It's been an hour long or so. And it's called Undaunted. And it tells the story of his early life. Now, we don't talk much about Josh McDowell, but he's kind of like a mini Billy Graham. He would go out and fill stadiums with 20,000 young people. And hundreds would come to faith every time he spoke. And he'd go to Europe, and 5,000 young people would show up in a coliseum, and he'd preach the gospel, and people would get saved. I mean, just a tremendous, tremendous ministry. But anyway, he grew up with a father who was an abuser and an alcoholic. And it was, I mean, this video is pretty gruesome. Like, I would watch it as an adult before I would decide how young my child would be to watch this video, okay? His father used to beat his mother with a rubber garden hose in the barn and then throw her in the manure pit. And it was like before he was 12 years old, there was at least, he said, 7 times he tried to kill his father. Okay? There was just a total absence of the love of God, right? The total absence of what God the Father would be like. And his father would drink and then abuse his mother and just absolutely pummel her. And then they brought in a man to help them on the farm, and that man for 7 years abused Josh McDowell until he got big enough at 13 years old and pinned him up against the wall and said, "If you ever touch me again, I'll kill you." We're talking about a guy who's probably spent the last 60 years seeing hundreds of thousands of young people get saved, right? See, because God is a father to the fatherless, right? If you say, "Oh, my problems were, yeah, I had a distant dad, and that's just the way it is, and I can't get over stuff, and I've," you know what? You have a heavenly father who gets what happened in your home. He's not a bit surprised what your home life was like. He knows exactly your needs, and he is the one who can meet those needs. He is the only one who can meet those needs. And so Josh McDowell goes on and explains that finally he got to college and he met a group of Christians who were really, really sharing their faith and telling him that Jesus Christ was the answer. And they challenged him. And so he got in an airplane, I believe it was, and he flew to Europe and he began to study all about what he could about Jesus and whether there was a resurrection. He was determined he was going to prove it wrong. And he came home and he told those young people that had challenged him, he said, "It's true." He said, "Jesus Christ is a real historic figure. He is the Son of God. He did rise again from the grave." He said, "It's all true." He said, "I can't believe it." And eventually he got saved. Then he knew he had to deal with his dad. And anyway, he finally apologized to his father, or talked to his father, and told him he loved him, and he forgave him. I'm not sure the timeline, but after a while, eventually, his dad got saved. And his dad only lived maybe another year or two. He got really sick with cancer or whatever. And he said his dad led over 100 people to Christ in prison. He went to prisons and shared his faith and told people about Christ. You know, we have a father that is the father of the fatherless, right? And he can transform our lives. He can transform your life. If you're sitting here tonight and you think, well, maybe my dad just hasn't quite cut it over the years and I feel kind of distant and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I know that's why I'm where I am. Well, you know what? If you know Christ as your Savior, you've got a Father in heaven who can make up the difference. I can tell you that right now, right? And maybe you haven't been able to connect with your earthly dad over the years. I don't know if I connected. I don't think I was really close to dad, right? Sometimes it was part of that generation. Sometimes it's just that they weren't close to their dad, right? But you know what? You have a Heavenly Father who wants, he has done everything he possibly can to connect to you, right? And we need to realize that he can meet the need. And McDowell in this book goes on to remind us that the Lord is not only the model of fatherhood, but he is the resource. He puts it this way. God the Father is the indispensable resource for becoming the father you and I long to be. And here's, I thought this statement was very telling. It's not about knowing how to be a father. It's about knowing who. That's what's going to change your life, guys. It's about knowing the Father in heaven. It's about that living daily relationship. So in the book, which I highly recommend to get, what he does is, and we're just going to kind of close here, he takes 10 qualities of what God the Father is like and breaks them down so that we can understand those qualities and how we need to work toward those qualities in our life as God changes us. We're just going to touch on one tonight, and that is unconditional love and acceptance, the intimacy. This is the number one characteristic that stands out of God, is his absolute love and passion for us. What's it say about God? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He spared not his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely give us all things? John 3:16 says what? For God, if we want to put in brackets, the Father, loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Josh McDowell tells a story. One time he was invited to speak in Phoenix, and the auditorium was too small for the amount of people who were coming, and they moved them outside. It was well over 1,000 people. And he was speaking to that group of young people. And all of a sudden, a group of punk rockers drove by. And they're all in their colored hair and their loud colored clothes. And the leader of the pack began to walk toward the front, right at Josh McDowell. And people were kind of looking and wondering, what's going on here? What's happening? Anyway, he got to within 20 feet of Josh McDowell, and he looked at him, and he said, would you hug me? And the tears were rolling down the face of this punk rocker who Josh McDowell wrapped his arms around and hugged for an entire full minute in front of those 1,000 people. And the guy said, my dad never told me he loved me. My dad never, ever hugged me. Guys, those are the small things that can make all the difference in the relationship with your kids. Put your arm around those kids. Get those kids to sit on your lap. I was reading the foreword in his book, and his three girls wrote foreword in his book, and they said, you know, one of the things was, Dad, I love sitting on Dad's lap, right? Children know when they're unconditionally loved. And we can't totally unconditionally love, because that's just, you know, we fall short. But you know what? Our kids need to see the Father's love. And guess what? He's entrusted us to do that, right? He's entrusted those children into your care to hold and to look after and to love and to nurture them. And if that happens, you know what? There's very few girls who go looking for another guy. Because they don't need to look for another guy. They've got their dad down here who reminds them of their dad in heaven, right? And it's not always perfect. Like, it's not 1 + 1 = 2 all the time. Life is messy. People make messy decisions. People don't always respond like they should. Kids don't always respond. They have a will, okay? This is not like an automatic plan A gives you the next result. But generally speaking, the impact and influence that you can have on your kids is absolutely way beyond what you really think it is. And so just in closing, I was just thinking about a few things about the Lord Jesus, and there's a couple of verses came to mind. I'm just going to look up John chapter 1. If you want to look there, it's just one verse, kind of a cool little verse. I've always appreciated it. We know the verse well in verse 14. We're going to look at actually verse 18. And verse 14 says what? The Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So then we come to verse 18. It says, so no man has seen God at any time. Okay, yeah, can agree to that. The only begotten Son who is at the Father's side, or is in the bosom of the Father, I think the King James says, he has made him known. That little Greek word in there, known, I remember discovering that probably 25 years ago. And that is the word we use for exposition. When you take the Bible and you do expositional teaching, you make known that truth, right? You expand that. You help people understand, right? It is the word to declare, to make known. And what they're saying here, the author is saying, John is saying, Jesus Christ has come to be the exegesis of God. Right? Of his Father. He is going to make known to us. And then if we turn to John 14 and verse 9, all the characteristics of the Father are known to us through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 9 says, Philip says in verse 8, this is a pretty clear question. It's not that complicated, it says here. Lord, show us the Father. He's saying to Jesus, right? Would you show us the Father? I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question. And that'll be good for us. That'll wrap it up. We'll be happy. Just adding on a few little things there. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. This is this incredible Trinity, this one in essence and nature and character. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And then lastly, Hebrews 1. What a great little verse here at the very first part of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. But in these last days, in this age of grace, he has spoken to us. How has he spoken to us? By his Son. He has revealed himself to us by his Son. Now, if you continue on, there's some just great little phrases. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God. And the ESV says the exact imprint of his nature. Wow. Is Jesus God? Does God's word say Jesus is God? You want to believe it. He's saying he has the exact imprint of the nature of his Father. So, as we wrap things up tonight, what does he want us to do in this world as dads? Well, I think the challenge is that we would have the imprint of the nature of God in our flowing through our life to our families and to those around us, right? That's what he wants. He wants us to reveal the true nature of his Father through us. It's pretty humbling. It's pretty overwhelming. That's pretty impossible. And that's good, it's impossible, because he has to do it, right? He has to do it. And as I'm connected to him in my relationship with him, then he empowers me, even in my failures to get right with my kids, as Tim mentioned, even in my shortcomings, even in my days when there's no gas left in the tank and my temper kind of loses and I lose my edge and I'm impatient and I'm not the kind of father I should be, that I get right with my kids and tell them. That's what we need, guys. That's what we need. And you don't have to be a dad to have these characteristics. That's what he wants in every one of us, right? That's what he wants in grandfathers. That's what he wants in uncles. That's what he wants in young adults, right? He wants us to be like him. So I'm just going to get Mackenzie to flip up a little song here that we're going to play. And I just thought it just kind of summarized what we touched on tonight. It's by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're a group from many years ago. But the words are very easy to understand. And it's simply called this, I Want to Be Just Like You. And this is a song that's coming from the perspective of a child, okay? And so the song's about 4 minutes long. And there's that little verse there that I mentioned earlier. Father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows. But this song's about 4 minutes long. We'll let it play through. There is about a minute at the end where the music just kind of repeats without any words. And probably what we'll do at that point is just that I can just turn it off and then I will just close in prayer. So love for us. Father, thank you that you entrust us with families. And Father, just thank you that we can draw our resource and our help from you. We fail in so many ways, so many regrets, so many things that we've often said or left undone that should have been said. But Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. And we thank you that our kids can even look past us to you and realize that you are the perfect one. So, Father, just thank you for each one here tonight. And, Lord, we know that your arms are open and welcome to anyone here tonight who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great invitation is available tonight, Father, for anyone here tonight, that whosoever will may come. And just like the prodigal son, the father's arms are open and willing and ready, Father, to accept those that do not know you as Lord and Savior. So just take us home in safety. Thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.